The opening shots in the NCAA men's basketball tournament are tonight, the first rounds of March Madness later in the week. And if history is any judge, the winners of tonight's first four matches have just about no shot at winning the whole thing. But for one of the teams, New Orleans, that may not matter. They are happy to even be a team. NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman is here. We're there. Tom, where are you?
I am coming to you, Robin, from the University of Dayton Arena. That's the site of today and tomorrow's first four, as it's called. Those are four games, and the winners move on to the main draw of the tournament, which starts play on Thursday. So we're in Dayton, Ohio.
And so tonight, the first game is the University of New Orleans against Mount St. Mary's. Tell us about the New Orleans Privateers. You know, why are they grateful just to have a team?
A really interesting story, Robin. University of New Orleans almost didn't have a Division I basketball program as recently as 6 or 7 years ago. And like all of New Orleans, the school was hit hard by Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Enrollment plummeted by half as students, along with so many citizens, left the city. And the athletic department relies heavily on student fees. So that was this financial blow. And then there were state actions to slash higher education funding. The gist of it is that UNO looked at dropping to Division III status as a way to save money by not paying athletic scholarships. But in 2012, the school decided to stay in Division I. The team has slowly worked its way back to relevance. And suddenly, here they are in their first NCAA tournament since 1996. So quite a story.
Well, but even if they win or Mount St. Mary's wins, whoever wins, I mean, the thinking is they don't have much of a shot in the next round.
Yeah, actually, no shot, according to history. The 16-seeded teams move on to play the number one seed in the tournament. So the winner of New Orleans versus Mount St. Mary's gets the tournament's number one overall seed and defending champion Villanova. And in the 78 years of the men's tournament, no 16-seed has ever beaten a one seed. But these 16-seeded teams here, like New Orleans, like Mount St. Mary's, they all have the same rallying cry, and that is, why not us?
Why not them? Okay. But talk about teams that are coming in that feel they really have something to prove. You've got Florida State, a 3 seed, but they've lost 4 of their last 8 games. So people are, you know, muttering that they're vulnerable. But is that maybe a good thing?
It may be a good thing in that it kind of puts the proverbial chip on Florida State's shoulder, and teams and players love those chips, those slights that they say give them an edge. Florida State plays one of the darlings of the tournament in the first round, Florida Gulf Coast. Florida Gulf Coast dunked its way into our hearts in 2013 when it beat a couple of high seeds with its high-flying style. So a lot of pundits are picking Florida Gulf Coast again, so much so that Florida State actually feels like the underdog, even though it's a number 3 seed.
Well, and you just helped somebody somewhere finish their brackets. But are there any high-seeded teams you have an eye on to surprise? A Cinderella pick.
As far as Cinderellas, you know, total guesswork here, Robin, but we're hearing that SMU, which is not a super Cinderella since the Mustangs are a 6th seed, and that's about a middle-of-the-road seed. Another team to watch is Middle Tennessee State, which everyone loved last year except Michigan State fans, because Middle Tennessee State upset Michigan State last year. They're back now. They're a 12-seed, and people are saying that they could beat their 5th-seeded opponent.
Okay. What about individuals? Markelle Fultz, projected to be the number 1 pick in the NBA draft this year, but he's not playing in March Madness because his team, the Washington Huskies, didn't make it. So What other individual players might you be watching? You know, people who, you know, first of all, just to watch, but who we might get to know even better over the next few years.
Well, someone you're going to get to know a lot during this tournament, if he has a long run, is Lonzo Ball from UCLA.
Yeah.
A great freshman guard. His dad, actually, is the talk of the tournament right now because, of course, his dad said that Lonzo is better than Steph Curry. That's 2-time NBA MVP Steph Curry. And now Papa Bell says Lonzo and his 2 basketball-playing brothers, who are younger, ultimately will be worth a $1 billion shoe contract altogether. So we'll see if any of father's talk gets to Lonzo and he cracks under the pressure. One other guy I'm interested in staying out west is Cavell Bigby-Williams. He's a junior forward for Oregon. He's from London, and he didn't play a ton this season, but now that the Ducks have lost their most important inside player, a guy named Chris Boucher, to a knee injury, Bigby-Williams is going to play more, and he needs to play well for the third-seeded Oregon Ducks to have a chance.
Okay. Listen, we got to let you go. Sounds like you're getting kind of exciting there. Your best guess, Tom, at this year's winner and why?
All right, emphasis on guess. I'm going to go with North Carolina. They got close last year, losing in the championship game to Villanova on a shot at the buzzer. I like North Carolina's consistency, although the Tar Heels lost to Duke in the ACC Conference Championship. So there you have it. Now destroy the tape.
NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman, who has to go because he has a small role in the floor show that's taking place behind him. For tonight's NCAA men's basketball tournament. Tom, thank you.
You should see my moves. You're welcome, Robin.